Back here on the second guest show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, doing it from the WWL studios tonight and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line from WAFB in Baton Rouge, Jacques Doucet. Jacques, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Jacques, we'll start with LSU practices today. From what I've been able to read, offensively, it was sort of a jumbled day for them. Maybe not as efficient for Sam Levitt, and also, too, that he might be getting not only some of the players, but maybe some of the coaches, too.
Yeah, I think that the LSU defense is going to be way ahead of the offense for numerous reasons. I think that the defense is something that LSU will probably be able to hang their hat on, especially early in the year. When you host Clemson, you got a quarterback coming in that doesn't have much experience. You got Blake Baker back on that side of the ball. All the assistant coaches like Jake Olson and Corey Raymond, the talent that they have returning, the talent that they added, a Princewell, Umami Ellen coming off the edge, a TJ Dottery at linebacker. I think the defense is going to be pretty salty. The offense has great potential, yet none of these guys have really played together before. Your most important piece of the team has never played a down for you, although he's got great experience and quarterback experience in Sam Levitt. But you got nine wide receivers out of the portal. You know, perhaps your top running back is Dylan Jones, at least the coaches. They talk about him all the time, it seems like, or Lane Kiffin certainly does. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting. You know, Sam Levitt's the most important piece. How is he going to perform in Tiger Stadium? How is he going to do with this new gig? We shall see. Offensive line, obviously, was really a weakness of the team a year ago. They added some important new pieces. But Lane Kiffin is the mastermind, along with Charlie Weiss Jr. They can't be any worse than they were on offense last year.
No.
If they improve a bit and the defense can be salty, they could, you know, they could have a nice year.
Now, Jacques, when you look at and, you know, Lane Kiffin's going to say, like, how you break this down, you can analyze it and all that. But I think LSU's in a good spot when you look from a national perspective. When you're hovering around, I say this almost every year, if you're hovering around 11 or 12, it's a great opportunity, you know, in the playoff picture. Now, you got to take care of business. But what is your overall take? And it's kind of shocking that SEC didn't get at least one first-place vote. But still, I don't know, not really disrespected when you consider five out of the top 10 are SEC teams and then six out of 12. So what's your take on that when you look at the polling? And it's amazing that you almost don't want to be number one because you never win a national championship. So I can tell you right now, Jacques, Ohio State's not winning a national championship since they preseason number one.
Kiss of death, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think from LSU's perspective, the pollsters are actually showing great respect to the transfer portal class and Kiffin because we watched the team that played last year. They weren't that good. I mean, they lost five games in the regular season. They lost their bowl game. They scored 13 points against Western Kentucky in Tiger Stadium. I mean, they barely beat Arkansas, a team that didn't win an SEC game at home. So what they put on the field last year was not terrific. So for them to be ranked 13th and 11th in the preseason polls is, I think, a pretty big compliment to Kiffin and the players they got. As far as the other SEC schools, you know, I'm just looking forward to LSU's schedule this year. I think it's a really exciting schedule, especially in the month of November when you get to host a Texas at home with Arch Manning coming to Tiger Stadium and Alabama at home. As far as the SEC goes, yeah, I think that certainly the league is taking a hard look at itself in terms of scheduling this ninth SEC game, making things harder on themselves when these schools that are winning national championships or even getting playoff berths are not playing nearly the schedule LSU and these other SEC teams are playing. So it's kind of crazy to think that it's been this long since the SEC won a national championship.
Jacques, one of the things I get asked about, could you compare Tre'Davious Green to anybody that I've ever covered at LSU at tight end? I tell him, no, listen, man, I was a big fan of Mason Taylor. I thought he was a tremendous tight end. But you look at Tre'Davious Green athletically, And the way Lane Kiffin has in the past pumped the football to the tight end, he could put up some huge numbers. I don't expect Trey Dez is going to be an inline player. They're going to flank him out and say, okay, you cover him. Okay, if it's a 5'11", 6-foot guy, you try to cover him downfield. And I think that that guy, if he can stay healthy, Trey Dez Green's got a chance to really blossom into a superstar player at LSU. But I can't compare him to any other tight end that I've seen at LSU.
Well, Mike, wouldn't you say, and Jacques, almost, remember the hype at Kyle Pitts, a senior, remember from Florida? 167, yeah. 166. So it's kind of like that type of height-wise as a tight end receiver. That look how Kyle Pitts, how he's come to fruition with the Falcons at the University of Florida. I think that's where Trey Dez Green is right now, that ability, maybe potential to blossom into that, how the pro teams will look at
him. Coach O wish he had Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to Mike's point, I mean, you go back. I mean, Bobby, you remember when you were throwing the ball to Tyson, Hobie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a whole nother thing, right? I mean, Brian Kinchin in the late 80s, nothing like that. I mean, Richard Dixon in 2007, Trey Dez is nothing like that. Thaddeus Moss was big to the 2019 team. He's nothing like Trey Dez. I mean, Trey Dez is 6'7", long, lanky, can jump to the sky, and even on a team last year that couldn't score any points, he caught 7 touchdowns. And this offense, if they can run the football and they get good quarterback play, Trey Dez can be a freak. I mean, he was a basketball player. I don't think he played football at all until his sophomore year in high school. First high school game he ever played, he went out and caught 2 touchdowns and had an offer from Houston the next morning. So, I think he could have been a basketball player too, but the overlapping seasons just prevented. But he is a special kid.
Jacques, I'm not trying to toot your horn, but I guess I am. When Skip Bertman passed away, I don't know why your name. That's what popped up.
Because he can do Skip well.
Jacques, I was like saying, "Whoa!" I said, "If you were blindfolded and here." Jacques Doucet and how he knew like Skip Bertman like the back of his hand. I mean, it was amazing. And so whenever you live a great prosperous life, but whenever someone that you look up to and you follow and what they mean to particular university or just sports in general, it kind of catches you and say, boy, life is fleeting. But you look at Skip Bertman. I'm like thinking to my visual. Wasn't it the first game, maybe the College World Series, LSU's not even in Omaha, and he was behind home plate in the stands? Of course they're going to give him VIP treatment. I think Skip was at the game just watching baseball.
Yeah. Well, we were having a conversation today, and when you think of most impactful people in LSU athletics history, I think Nick Saban immediately comes to mind, although he was only there 5 years. But what he did has resonated for decades. But, Skip Bertman was the baseball coach for 18 seasons, and then he was the athletic director for another 7. He gave 25 years of service to LSU. Obviously, the 5 national championships in 10 years, the coaches he hired, perhaps the greatest public speaker you've ever seen, one of the funniest men you've ever met, a fundraiser. He is one of one. I don't think there will ever be another Skip Bertman. There hasn't been one. Jay Johnson even told me, I don't care how many national championships I win, there's no passing Skip Bertman in anything. So it's a day that we knew was coming. We could see Skip getting older and getting weaker. But there's no overstating. There's no, you're making too big of a deal of it. No, I mean, Skip Bertman passing away is a major, major thing. And so, something that you know is coming, but at the same time, I kind of told myself today, if and when LSU's back in Omaha and they win a national title and everyone's celebrating and you're interviewing all the coaches and players, my brain is going to say, where's Skip Bertman? I need to get a soundbite from Skip Bertman, and he's not going to be there. And so that's when it's really going to, kind of hit home.
Shock. If my memory's right, you didn't cover Skip in baseball. He had left baseball, and he was an athletic director. Now, you've been there in Baton Rouge for a while.
But yeah, but Jacques young, though.
But yeah, I know you're a young age, there a while.
Hey, Mike, Jacques got a picture. I sent him. I think T-Bob would give it to me or something. Jacques interviewing me at the Louisiana Hall of Fame was like 2000. Over a quarter of a century. So, yeah, that would make sense that more as an AD than actually from a baseball.
And he was the ambassador for LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what, he was the LSU ambassador.
Yeah, I didn't cover him as a coach. When I started Channel 9, it was the tail end of his 01, his last year. And, they lost to Tulane in the Super Regional at the old Zephyr. And, he just could have people eating out of his hand. You know, he lost to Tulane. It was like, ooh, I'm a washed up old man. Ooh, and everyone laughed. And, and he had a great sense of humor with his wife, Sandy. She'd be at an event, he'd be talking, and he'd say, hey, guys, look at my wife, Sandy, right here on the front row. Who? She just went into the American Express Hall of Fame after shopping in Scottsdale. Everybody would laugh. And, everyone's got a skip impression. I didn't cover him as a coach. I never had to ask. I mean, there's no second guessing Skip, but I never had to ask why you left the pitcher in the game or whatever like that. But he was very – I interviewed him many different times. I went to his house many different times. He was always very warm and kind, and he cared about people. He wanted to help people. Like Blair Barbier told me, he didn't care about your religion, your race, your background, whatever. And the women's coaches, I interviewed Dee Dee Bro today. I interviewed Yvette Gerard. And, women's sports at LSU were very mistreated in the 80s and 90s. They were treated like lesser than. And when Skip Bertman became the AD, a lot of that changed. He was a coach, and he helped them out a lot. He helped them build the new LSU softball stadium. He helped Dee Dee Bro build her fan base to what you see today. They're packing the house for gymnastics. And so he was a coach. That's one thing he told me. One time he goes, look, Joe Oliva, not a coach. See, I'm a coach. See? So go on and on. We could fill hours with Skip Bertman.
Well, Jacques, how you say, just being like a people person and how he related to the players. And Big John from Mid-City, we had him on. He was talking about Skip and how we need to obviously recognize him, not only on the field, but off and all what he meant to this area in LSU. And Big John was like saying the depth of his care, the depth of his players, when he even delivered the eulogy for Wally Poniff. There's not many coaches that would deliver the eulogy. Now, you have occasions that will occur, but just to be able to have that ability and the care of his players that he crossed paths with, and Wally Poniff delivering that eulogy for him.
I remember it was Fletcher Mackel called me at my house early morning 2002 and told me that Wally Poniff had passed away in his sleep, and it made no sense. I didn't understand it, and certainly a big shock. Certainly, I still remember it very well. And we were doing interviews on Monday in the LSU Hall of Fame lounge and seeing Wally with his hands up, number 31. So, that must have been very tough for him. And Skip also, he had four daughters, and one of them died, I believe it was 14 years ago, of cancer. She was only 44 years old, so he lost the child also. So, he went through his share of things in his personal life, loss and whatnot. But, I almost forgot about it because of the way he just powered ahead.
One of the things Dee Dee Bro tells me, that she was like, Mike, I'm early on there, and Bob Broadhead calls me and says, I need to see you in my office right now about women's gymnastics. She said, I didn't show up because I knew what he was going to tell me, that they were going to cut, they were going to cut me loose. But she said, every time Skip called me, I was like, Skip, don't move. I'll be there in just a minute or two.
right, exactly. Yeah. And Skip, too, I heard Ronnie Rantz tell this story. Skip had to be moved in position to, you know, put these TAF ticket fees on season tickets for football. I mean, it was something that LSU didn't do until the year, I think, 2002 or 3 or something like that. Now we just accept it. But schools like Florida and Georgia had done it for years. And Ronnie tells a story that they had to tell the RV guys that they were paying like $500 a year to park their RV for LSU home games. So they had to go up on it. So they had this big meeting, and all these RV guys are there, and Skip gets up in front of them, and he points at the brass on the side and says, "Look, these guys over here, they want to raise your RV fees to $10,000 a year." And the whole place goes nuts, and they're losing it, and they're getting angry, and they can't believe it. And then Skip goes, "But look, I stepped in and said, no way, we can't do that. It'll only be $5,000 a year." And then all the people cheer and clap like they've gotten away with something, you know. And then Skip points at the guys walking out and goes, "That's how you do it, guys." And like, you know, that was Skip the master.
Jacques, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk to you about LSU and reminiscing about Skip Bertman. And, you know, like you said, we knew it was going to happen pretty soon with him. But, man, what a legacy he has left to Louisiana and LSU and what he did to change the sport of college baseball in the SEC, not only at LSU, but all across the landscape.
Okay, Jacques, I'm putting you on the hot seat. You're looking in your crystal ball. Is LSU in the postseason? We all know Coach Kiffin football. I know there's that kind of expectation from the fan base. Do you think they can be in that number?
I'm going to say they're going to be 9-3, Bobby, and they'll get in. They'll slide in. But if they lose the Clemson game, I can't find a path.
Okay, all right.
Out of the box.
Thank you, Jacques. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, Jacques.
Okay, thanks, guys.
All righty. Jacques Doucet from WAFB in Baton Rouge.